Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
Ha ha! You're old.
Bye week is here. Time for Senior Moments. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Joe Fortunato. We'll talk until we're done. How are you?
Good. Good. Bye week, 4-3, first place. What do you want?
Yeah. That's the question. What do you want for this team? You know, when the season started, they were not impressive in the preseason. I mean, maybe the right. Patriots game, you're like, yeah, okay, they see some things here. But we got out of the regular start, out of the preseason to start the regular season. We thought, okay, where is this thing going?
Yeah.
You saw problems along the offensive line through the preseason. The defense struggled to stop the run, which is something they still need to get better at. You wondered about the quarterback, but you're sitting at 4-3. You're in first place. You've won two division games on the road, and you have a schedule that lays out when you return that seems to be conducive to this team putting some wins together and staying in the race into December.
So the question is, what do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
You want the division. It's there for you now.
You're serious?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
now, if I had said to you, we did this podcast before the Wednesday before the regular season, I want the division, right, you probably would have looked at me cross-eyed at that moment, right?
Yeah, because at that point, you know, you didn't know what you had to take with you. And I even changed that in the last 3 weeks, because the more you look at it, you know, I'm a big believer in 6 games in, you know what you are. Well, we're 7 games in now, and I don't have any doubt in my mind that this defense, when it has a lead, if it stays healthy, is one of the best in the league, if not the best with a lead. Now, there's a huge question if it's playing an even game or if it's behind and another team's running on them, then I don't want to say boy, look out, but it's not the same defense, or it hasn't been so far.
These guys have struggled to stop the run consistently.
But the thing that they've been able to, you know, bring the hammer down with teams is, when they get ahead, they're a lethal combination of great coverage, a pass rush that backs up that coverage, and on the other side, they can run. So, yeah, if they have 3 second half drives, they're probably going to run 15 times in those drives and try to run every time. They've shown that on a couple of the drives, they may not get anything, but then they're going to break one and get points to extend the lead. Boy, that's the formula for closing out games. So I look at the rest of the schedule. You've got 9 games. Can they get 6 leads? Are they going to hold those leads?
Yeah.
Are they? Yeah.
So they can, sure.
Now, that doesn't necessarily, there's no guarantee it'll happen.
Right.
But the way this team plays, it wouldn't surprise you anymore if it happened.
Well, I mean, briefly, let's go through.
So, yeah, that's what you should want.
Okay. And by the way, I do too. And for a lot of reasons, the first of which is, the Texans, when the season started, you said they're deficient on offense, but, man, that defense is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not so unbelievable right now.
Right.
Their best 2 pass rushers are gone. That leaves Clowney on an island. Their middle linebacker Cushing is gone for most of the year. So, you know, they're a shell of themselves. That's
and as
that.
Good as Deshaun Watson has played,
he's a rookie.
He's a rookie, but even if he wasn't a rookie, even if, you know, maybe what we're seeing so far is real, that formula that they have plays into this team's strength if you can get a lead on him.
Right.
So, I don't know if they will or not. But if they fall behind, I mean, if the Jaguars get ahead of the Texans when they play, I think it's going to be tough for the Texans to match up against what this team does defensively. It's already shown that.
Right. Just to finish that out, you get the Colts again, obviously, and the Colts are a team that, well, we saw what they are. I mean, their roster is just not even on par with this. And the Titans have a quarterback who's got a hamstring injury, and when he stands in the pocket, he's not nearly as effective as when he's moving. And their defense doesn't look like it's as good as they thought it was going to be. So, yeah, some injuries roll around. I mean, hey, look at the Cardinals game, right? When you saw that game on the schedule, you're like, wow, that's a challenge, because they had David Johnson, who has since dislocated his wrist, and Carson Palmer, who is probably out for the remainder of the regular season. I mean, you could just go through it. And so you see opportunities where maybe they didn't exist before. So I'm with you. I'll go for the division. And the Jaguars have a great opportunity. But I just throw it at you. Bengals, right? They roll in here. Is that a game that the Jaguars look at and go, wow, uh-oh?
Well, it's tough because you can go down the schedule in 9 games. And the reality is, they can win all 9 and they can lose all 9.
I think that's what I wanted to know, yeah.
And because, you know, it's the old saying, when they're good, they're very, very good. When they're bad, they're very, very bad. I don't know if they're very, very bad at any point anymore, because I think the defense is going to be good enough where I don't think teams are going to get away from them. It does happen in the NFL, but for the most part, the only time a game's gotten away from this team this year was the Titans. Early in the season, still trying to find itself.
It was self-inflicted, too.
Yeah, and so if this team falls behind in the first quarter by double digits, which can always happen in this league, then it's in trouble. So if you have a fluky start, the Rams, had the Colts busted one and been up 7-0, I don't know if that game's not different.
Right.
Because it's a team that right now has not shown the ability to absolutely lock down the run. And it really hasn't shown the ability 10 points down to pass its way back into a game. They had the opportunity against the Titans and the Rams. Didn't do it. They really didn't even do it against the Jets. The defense got them back in that. So until they show that, for really good teams, usually you look at the end of the season and there's two or three games that were getting squirrely in the third quarter and they came back and they got back in it 10 points down the third quarter and you're back in it because you passed your way back in.
Right.
You wonder if this team can do that. It's tough when that's not part of your dimension.
This podcast can be rendered completely irrelevant in the next couple of weeks, depending on the injury situation. But I look at the quarterbacks that they face, right? I mean, A.J. Green is okay. I'm sorry. A.J. Green is exceptional.
He's exceptional, right?
Right? Bengals quarterback. Why did I?
Andy Dalton is okay.
I was going A.J. McCarron. Andy Dalton's okay. Has taken his team to the playoffs before. A.J. Green's exceptional. The guy who scares me the most, if I'm looking at the schedule, is Phillip Rivers, who has just hammered this team the last couple of years that they have faced them. I mean, a couple of times here, a couple of times out there, they've had no answer for him. Of course, they've never had this defense before.
Right.
The Browns don't have a quarterback. The Cardinals don't have a quarterback. Russell Wilson rolls in. That's when you're like, okay, well, I mean, let's see what he can do against this defense now. You know, the Colts don't have a quarterback. Deshaun Watson comes in. He's a rookie. I mean, just looking at the quarterbacks, the difference this year is the Jaguars have an answer for the great quarterback.
Well, that's exactly. And it's somebody asked me, is there any team in the league that you'd feel like if this team gets up on by 10 points that you feel like they wouldn't close the game out? I said, well, you know, you're talking about Brady and the Patriots.
It's tough.
That's still a different animal. Seahawks and Russell Wilson, there's still something about Seattle that feels very dominant.
They won in New York over the weekend. I mean, that's all. I know it's the Giants, but coming all the way across the country.
Yeah, they could. They're that team.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about Phillip Rivers, and we're way ahead of ourselves. He has been a Jaguars killer. But at the same time, has he been down 10 against this secondary with this pass rush? This is a different beast. And a pass rush like that, like the Jaguars have right now, has a tendency to break past tendencies, meaning, okay, well, he's done this four or five times. Well, when he's getting hit every time, it's tougher to do that. So it sounds absurd to say that this, you know, because it's been bad for so long, the Jaguars, that it almost sounds like a reach or hyperbole to say, boy, this team might be really, really good. They're close to it.
Well, they've got a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
So as you look at this team going forward, you know what the defense is.
Mm-hmm.
What's the offense going to be? Can we expect Blake Bortles to play consistently, even though he has not done that over the course of his career? Is that beyond hope that he can come out and play a consistent brand of football that gives this team a chance to put some wins together and maybe get ahead?
I don't know if you can expect consistently, but what I wonder is, do they need consistently? And when I say that, I mean, you've got 9 games left. If he gives you 3 like the other day, you probably win them all. So that gets you to 7 wins. They've also shown in the first 7 games that they don't necessarily need that performance out of him every week to have a chance. So they get other performance, 3 others, and he gets 6. So I think they need him to be what he was the other day half the time. And if they get it half the time, you would take it. Now, I don't know way, way ahead. If you get in the playoffs, can you do it 3 times, playoffs, all that stuff? Is he Super Bowl? You know, I can't even get my head around that yet. It's so far out.
Right.
But within the context of you're trying to build this thing now and find something you know how the league works. At some point in November and December, you have to have your formula and reel off a few. And all of a sudden, three or four straight Mondays, you're coming in going, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're close to that. They were that the other day. Can they find that three or four times and kind of catch that stretch? It just feels a lot closer to that than I imagined it would feel 7 weeks ago.
All right.
And that's a great feeling right now for this franchise.
And you can feel it in this city. People are energized, despite the fact they haven't won at home yet. People are
right.
ready to see this team against the Bengals when we get back from the bye. First half of the season, I mean, they're one game from being halfway, but bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive, most valuable player.
It's got to be Fournette.
Okay.
I mean, even though the other day he wasn't there, he has changed the way this team sees itself. And you know what I'm talking about.
No, I do.
So,
and look, we've seen strong performances from individuals along the way, but no one's been as consistent as he has. Consistently dominant. So absolutely defensive MVP.
It's Calais. And with a heavy nod to Boye and Ramsey.
I was just going to Boye.
Because, you know, it's hard to separate Boye and Ramsey, their impact. Calais would be the first to tell you he wouldn't have the numbers without it. At the same time, you can't underestimate what 10 sacks, leadership. It's one thing to cover, but you still got to get there. And the huge concern for me before the season, I knew Boye and Ramsey would be good. Didn't know they'd be this good, but knew they'd be good. But I wondered, can they get home? And Calais, first half out of the break, gets home four times. By halftime, was it three by halftime?
Yeah,
whatever it was.
Half.
That set the tone for every dominant defensive performance.
I totally get it. I mean, he's 2.5 sacks away from the club record, which Tony Bracken set in 1999. And he's the first Jaguar with, you know, 10 or more sacks since Bobby McRae, of all people.
Forever,
yeah,
right.
2006. I'm going to go with Boye for this reason. We knew what Jamsey.
I like that.
Yeah.
Nickname
like
Ryan.
Yeah, what Jalen Ramsey would be able to do. But if teams don't ever throw your way, you don't get a chance to make too many plays.
Right.
Putting Boye over on the other side has given Boye the chance to make plays, but also Ramsey, because mm-hmm. they don't want to throw a Boye all that much either. So, you know, nod to Calais and understanding. But boy, this week, Calais and Doug Marrone, who was on Good Morning Football this week on NFL Network, went out of their way. And in fact, guys on the sideline were going out of their way to give those defensive backs a ton of credit for the sacks that came in Indianapolis. So I'm going to say that Boye was that missing domino, that link that allowed Ramsey to take his considerable skills to an even greater level mm-hmm. because now, right, there's no weak spot in the defense and Ramsey can take chances, and that gave Calais, Fowler has 5.5 sacks
right.
and Ngakoue has 6.5 sacks.
Right.
I mean, I think Boye's impact has been incredibly significant, almost as significant, if not as significant as Campbell. So I'll go with that just to be able to tell his story.
It's an amazing free agency class.
Because it rarely ever works like this.
In the sense that Campbell, Boye, and Church are all critical to what's going on. They fit in seamlessly. Probably a lot of credit to Calais, but a lot of credit to the other guys as well. There was one scene when Telvin Smith intercepted the pass in Pittsburgh. There was a shot, I think it was Jaguars.com's guys got the shot. Telvin made the pick and all of a sudden took off. And in the background, blurry, you can see as soon as he makes the reception, Boye's hands are in the air. That's not much. Obviously, your hands are in there, you're excited. But it sort of symbolized to me, these guys truly do get excited about the other guys making plays.
Yeah.
And it truly has developed into a defense that feels like it's all for one, one for all. That's the way it should be. It's not always the way it is. And I think Calais had a huge thing with that. Of somehow this defense, which has been together for 6 months, feels like it's been together for 5 years.
Yeah. Well, before they went on the field in Indy for the very first series, they were hyped up, bouncing up and down, getting each other excited. And it wasn't that fake kind of stuff. It
right.
was genuine. They were excited to get on the field. They were like Jaguars going after meat.
Yeah.
They were hungry. They wanted to get after it. And in the fourth quarter, man, they were all over each other. They did not want to give up a touchdown. In
right.
fact, I think I told this story. There was some testiness between Telvin and Aaron Colvin coming off the field on that long run by Mac that set up the
right.
The opportunity for the Colts to score, which, of course, they didn't. And, man, they Well, when I'm watching this, I'm thinking, what is this? And then I realized they don't want to be the ones blamed for giving up the shutout.
Right.
They wanted the shutout against Houston. They wanted the shutout against the Ravens. They were not going to give it up. And in the end, they all came together and really understood how special they are. And people around the league are starting to see that one, too. It's a fun unit to watch. So,
it's going to be an interesting second half.
Yeah, here we go. You going to pay any attention to football at all this weekend?
Yeah, I'll pay attention. I mean, not, you know, I try to get away from it over the line a little bit.
Here we go. Shut it down because we've got a 9-week grind. And then maybe 10 if things go the way they want.
14 weeks.
14. Pardon me. Right. I was trying not to get too far ahead of myself. Right. Senior writer John Oshin, thank you very much.
All right, buddy. You too.
Joe Fortunato, have a nice bye week. And you all too. We'll see you next week with another edition of Senior Moments.